Terry and Carol and Betty. We appreciate the great music we've had this week. It's been good. And appreciate your faithfulness, attending night after night. And many of you have done so much for the revival this week, and we appreciate it. And it's been our privilege to have this week Brother Mays Jackson, evangelist from Atlanta, Georgia. Brother Mays, it's been good to have had you here this week for the 15th time. God bless you. We love you and appreciate you here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church.
Bless you, good pastor. And I tell you, it's a blessing of mine to be back. I hope I get to come 30 more years and get to preach Dr. Lassie's funeral. Say amen. I'll tell you, I'm not in no hurry. I'm going to heaven, I know. I was in Pittsburgh once in a meeting, and on a Sunday afternoon, we were a little late getting out, and boy, they had to rush me down to the airport. Finally, I got on that United Friendly Sky plane. A little lady came over, and she said, "Your name and destination, mister." I said, "My name's Jackson, and I'm headed for heaven." She liked to drop that. She said, "I hope you don't go today. That's all I hope." But we've had such a good time. I tell you, it's been blessed. I've enjoyed the food and all of the good blessings that you, all the things the church has done. Thank you. I appreciate every token. I appreciate that offering for the radio ministry. I appreciate the offering for the love offering. And I appreciate your prayers. Will you continue to pray for me? I want you to do that. Write down your Bible. Pray for Brother Mason Doc. You spell Maze, M-A-Z-E. If you don't know how to spell dot, just make a dot. Praise the Lord and pray for my wife. But we do appreciate you, and I tell you. And glad to see Brother Taylor here. How long have you been knowing me? Tell him. 60 years. Boy, I'm glad I got somebody that's known me for 60 years and still come and hear me preach. Amen. Well, I appreciate him. God bless him. He's been a blessing. I appreciate all of you that have come. And this is a good crowd for Sunday afternoon. Now, I want to give you some headlines out of prophecy. And let me say, before we read the scripture, by the way, you can turn to Matthew 24. And there are three great chapters in the Bible. You must know how to interpret those three, or you'll be mixed up in prophecy. Matthew 13, don't get mixed up on the parables. Matthew 24 really is the tribulation chapter. And then, of course, the great chapter 12 in the book of Revelation. We better know about these things. And when you know the scripture and rightly divide, you won't get mixed up in prophecy. Now, let me say this. No man knows the day and the hour Jesus is coming. Of course, I preached one night in my church on the exact hour and the exact day Jesus is coming. People came from everywhere and said, "Boy, he'll mess up now." I said, "He's coming back the day the five foolish virgins go to buy oil." That's the exact day. And I said, "He's coming back in the hour you think not." That's the exact hour. And I did tell them the truth. I told them the truth. They expected me to tell them, something else. But I gave them the Bible. The day the five foolish virgins go buy oil, the bridegroom cometh for the bride. All right? And the day that you think not are the hour. And not many people looking for Jesus. Did you know that? Not many Christians are really looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 24, would you stand with me all over the house, please? And we're going to read the first 8 verses and then read a few verses over in verse 37 down, a few verses there. Matthew 24, the disciples, they said, "When is the end coming? What about the end of the world?" I was a little boy over in Flat Rock in Hendersonville. They said, "The end of the world's coming." And here the disciples want to know that. So let's read some and I'll show you. Scripture says, verse 1, Matthew chapter 24, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." Many people, look this way, believe the temple was one building. There were many buildings of the temple. Now notice what he says in verse 2. "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one left here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down." Verse 3, "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, I'm going to turn to the 37th verse and read that in just a moment, but look this way. I believe that we're now living in the beginning of sorrows. I do not believe the tribulation is here. It will not come in till after the rapture. But I believe we're living in the shadow of the tribulation. I believe the stage is being set for the Antichrist. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised he's not somewhere today. Because when the Antichrist is revealed, he'll be the same age that Jesus was when he started his earthly ministry of 30. And the Antichrist will come forth, but not on 2 Thessalonians 2 said, till after he that letteth is taken out. That's the church and the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to worry about him. But he's somewhere, I think, in the world today. I don't know where, but I believe he's somewhere. Now, look at verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one will be taken, the other be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now, verse 44 is my text. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, so cometh the Son of Man. So we know from this verse here, people will not be looking. They'll not be talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, I believe that God's people will be talking about it. I believe. But the worldwide peoples of the world, they're not looking for Jesus. They're not even expecting him. And in the days of Noah, they didn't even know it till the flood came and took them all away. But this afternoon, I'm going to speak to you on this subject. And it's entitled, Headlines from Prophecy, that one day will stare this world in the face. I'll mention five, and will not be long this afternoon, but I'd like for you to jot them down in just a moment. But you be seated, if you will, beloved, all over the house. Would you bow your head for just a word of prayer? Father, how we thank you for this blessed privilege of coming today and able to preach the word of God. Lord, we realize that soon Jesus is coming. We don't know how soon, but when we see all of the nations over in the Middle East as they are in turmoil and strife and war upon war, we know that Jesus said it'll come. And then for the church and to the people of God, he said, watch and pray. Oh, how we need to watch and pray and work in these days. Now, bless our hearts as we come to preach the word of God. And all that you do for us, we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. And I'm glad we know about the future. Oh, somebody said, nobody knows about tomorrow. Yes, we do. We know because God left this book. And this book tells us the beginning unto the end. This book, my friend, gives you what's going to happen out yonder in the days to come. He said, for one thing, there'll be false prophets. He said, there'll be earthquakes. He said, there'll be famines. And surely we're seeing those happening now. He said, there'll be wars. And I hear somebody say, but Mr. Bush has new day. No, that new day won't come, mister. You put her down. Until Jesus Christ comes, there'll be no new order. But when he comes, thank God, all things are going to be made new. And what a blessing that is. But then he said, as the days of Noah. Have you ever read about Noah? The scripture said in the days of Noah, only 8 people were saved. And in the days of Noah, they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. But I'm going to give you today 5 headlines that will be taken from prophecy. I believe they'll be bold headlines. I believe that the people in this part of the country and down where I live will read these headlines. You say, what are they? Headline number 1, 2 words, multitudes missing. I believe the next great headline as far as prophecy is concerned will be when Jesus takes his bride out of this world. Now, brother, we're not going to have to live here much longer. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Now, I like it down here. I'm not going to be tell you I don't like it. I've been riding in a good car. I've been eating good food. I've been having good fellowship. And I like it. But listen, my heart is over there with Jesus. I believe every Christian has a longing for the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the next headlines will be multitudes missing, kidnapped. Where'd they go? Where did my baby go? Where did my companion that was saved? Where is she? I'll tell you, Christ came and picked that little one up and picked that precious companion up, and now they're with the Lord. The rapture is mentioned in the Bible many times in type. First of all, it's mentioned in type by Enoch. I like Enoch. The Bible said he was not. I like that expression. He was not, because God took him. Did you know one of these days we're going to be a bunch of was nots? Because at the rapture, the Lord is going to take us out of this world, and we'll be a bunch of was nots. When the Russians sent the first man into space, they called him a cosmonaut. When America sent the first man into outer space, they called him an astronaut. But when Jesus comes, we'll be a bunch of was nots. How you like that? Praise God. The Bible said, and as Enoch was raptured away. And I want to tell you something about Enoch. Did you know, I don't know how he lived for 300, for 65 years. I don't know how he lived. But when a little baby was born, he had a birthday present. And on his 65th birthday, God gave him a little boy called Methuselah. And he lived longer than any man that's ever lived. Now watch this, I want to help you. But 300 years later, Enoch had walked with God. And on his 365th birthday, God said, we're walking together. I'm going to leave and go home. Would you like to go home with me and spend the day? And Enoch said yes, and they left and went home, and they have no night there, and Enoch's still there. Say amen. He was raptured out of this world. Enoch, a type of the rapture. Second, Elijah. Oh, did you ever hear how Elijah got out of this world? A whirlwind and a chariot of fire swept down and picked up that Tishbite and took him up to heaven. They looked for him. Man, they got a committee out to search for him. I wonder how many will be looking for you after the rapture. You see that headline, multitudes missing. Elijah is a type of the rapture. But I want to give you one that probably you've never thought about. Paul, the great apostle, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My Bible says Paul was caught up in the third heaven. And there in the third heaven he saw things he couldn't even tell about them. Did you know heaven must be a beautiful place? John said, and when Revelation, he said, I'll give you 2 chapters on that beautiful city, but I can't really tell it to you. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is in the heart of man what God has waiting for his bride. And Paul was caught up and said, I saw what's over there in that third heaven. You can go to the first heaven. I'll go in a few minutes. I may go on to the third one. That thing may fall. I'm going to ride to one that fell the other day when Senator Tyler went down. I think I'll pray, Lord, if this thing's going down, just let me stay another day in Tri-City. Say amen. But you know what? I'll go to the first heaven. But if I went to the second heaven, I'd have to go down here to Kennedy and get in a rocket, and I'd go to the second heaven. But if you go to the third heaven, you don't go in an airplane, you don't go in a rocket, you go by the blood. Nobody will go to that third heaven except the blood. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This will be the day when headline says, multitudes missing. Now headline number two, the moon will drip with blood. You can't imagine that. But this book said there's going to be a convulsion of nature. Mother Nature's going to lose all of her sensibility. And the Bible said that moon three times in the New Testament will drip like it's blood. It's going to turn to blood. I want you to know, mister, it'd be awful to look up tonight and see that thing the Bible said as blood. Oh, yes, sir. You know what it said? The stars will fall out of their sockets. The Bible said, and the sun will become as black as sackcloth of hair. I mean, it's going to be black, and this whole world is going to shake. You say, preacher, I don't want to be here. If you're a Christian, I don't believe you'll be here. Thank God I won't be around here when that moon starts to drip with blood. I'll not be around here in the convulsion. And a lady had an audacity one night down in Atlanta, Georgia. She said, do you believe in flying saucers? I said, I'm married, ain't I? Say amen. Amen. I believe in flying saucers. You'll see. Of course, some of you wouldn't. You wouldn't admit it if you got hit in the head with one of those flying saucers. But you hear me? It's going to be a time. And brother, the headline, you wait till it says that moon is. I have a first cousin. I led him to Jesus. He's a PhD, and he teaches at the University of North Carolina. He teaches science. And Dr. James would come hear me preach when I'm over in Durham. And I love him, and he's a wonderful Christian. But I said to him, how long has the moon and the sun and the stars been in their orbits? He said the sun is probably 50 billion years old. I said, how long would it take it to go out? He said, 5 million years. I said, son, I got news for you. You get in that book when Jesus was on the cross, thank God. He blotted that sun out for 3 hours. It didn't take no 5 million years for it to go out. And brother, when God begins to work in wrath against nature, and the Bible said the moon, not only multitudes missing, but there will be moon turning to blood. Number three, there will be a mysterious man that'll come on the scene. Now, you've never seen a man like coming on the scene. Boy, he'll open his mouth. And you think he's a lamb. The Bible said, but he'll roar like a lion. The Bible said he'll come up as the beast in Revelation 13. The Bible says he'll be called the wicked one, the son of perdition. He'll be what we call the Antichrist. But I'm glad he will not take over until multitudes will be missing. When that newspaper has mysterious man arises. And let me give you something quickly. The Arab world and the whole world is looking for some man to work out the West Bank and the East Bank and to work out the problems around the world. But listen, only the Antichrist can work those problems out, and he'll only give peace for 3.5 years. He'll make a covenant, and you remember what the Bible said, he'll break that covenant. There's only one that's going to bring lasting peace. And when Jesus comes, brother, I'm glad he will bring peace on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, it'll be a blessed time to live around here. And the Bible says there will be peace for 1,000 years. Let me give you something about that Antichrist. I'm going to give you his platform. I'm going to give you a platform if a man would run for president next time, would win. There's no doubt about it. There are two things that everybody wants. You hear me? There are two things that everybody wants. Number one, they want peace. They want peace on earth, peace in their heart. They may not, but they do. They want peace. They don't want trouble and sorrow and wickedness. They want peace. Second thing they want prosperity. They want plenty of money. And the Antichrist is going to come out and say, my platform, I'll bring peace to this world for the first time. And I'll bring prosperity to every nation on the sun. brother, they're going to open their mouths and say, what a strange, mysterious person called the Antichrist. And he's coming up. And boy, when that headline hits, a mysterious man. And you know, I believe he's alive somewhere. I can't prove it. I even believe he's about 29 or 30 years old, because I believe that's how near we are to the rapture of the church. And as soon as the church is gone, he's going to make his appearing. And the people are going to clap their hands, and they're going to welcome this man called the mysterious man from the sea, the beast that comes out of the sea. And this man shall take over the whole world, and Satan will rule this world. Let me give you something. The book of the Revelation is divided into three great periods of the tribulation. The first one we have, the earth ruled by sinful man. Man cannot rule this world. Everything that man ever does, he gets it out of whack. Everything man's ever done to this earth, the water we drink, man messed it up. Oh, the beauty, man's messed it up. Man, sinful man. And in the first part of the tribulation, there are seven seals. And it'll be a time when sinful man shall rule this world. Number two, there will be a time when Satan shall rule this world. I mean, Satan incarnate, the Antichrist, the son of the devil. He will rule this world. That will be a time, my friend, of the blowing of the trumpets in the book of the Revelation. And then, even in the beginning of the vials, Satan will still rule the world. But in the midst of it, the Son of God's coming down from glory, and the Son of God's going to rule this world. And when he rules this world, it's going to be a blessing. I tell them about going to Israel. I always have a good time everywhere I go. I don't care where I go. And I have me a good time. You know, when I went to Jerusalem first, years and years ago, I tried to do what Jesus did. How'd Jesus go into Jerusalem? Ride a donkey. So I rented me a donkey. I said, bless God, I ain't the Lone Ranger. I'm Brother Mays, and I'm coming into town. And I got me a donkey, and they took my picture, Brother Taylor, riding that donkey. And, oh, it was a good picture. I'm not kidding. And I said, I'm going to take it to my wife, surely. She'll love this picture and want to frame it. I hand it to Dot. You know, if you don't know her, she's real serious. And I said, how do you like that, Sister Jackson? She looked at it and said, poor little donkey. I said, have mercy. But you know, I tried to do, I went up on Mount Olives at night. Jesus didn't go up there in his daylight. He went up at night and wept over the city and said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how oft would I gather together as a hen would her brood, but she would not. And so I said, Lord Jesus, you're going to rule Jerusalem one of these days. And you know where he's going to rule it from? David's throne. I went over on Mount Zion. There's only one thing on Mount Zion, and that's David's tomb. And I went in, and you know, I try to be nice. You're supposed to put a little hat on when you go in there, a little covering. I forgot mine. I went in, they said, blue, 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 blue. And I said, blue, blue, what? They said, Well, I went out and got me a little hat, stuck it on, went back in there, and boy, they had a rabbi over here and a rabbi here. That's by David's tomb. I thought they had a stomach ache. You're going, oh. And I stood there a minute, and I heard one groan over here and speaking in Hebrew. And I walked over right close to one of them. I said, praise the Lord. And when I said, praise the Lord, he said, blue, 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 blue. I said, blue, blue yourself. Bless God, one of these days, Jesus is going to sit on this fella's throne right here. I said, the Son of God will sit upon David's throne. And man, I scared those were. Listen, I thought they was going to get saved before I get out of there. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that Jesus will sit upon the throne. And nations, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Mr. Shoes, you hear people don't want to bow their knee to Jesus now. But one day every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he's Lord. Praise God, that's going to be a wonderful time. But you wait till that mystery man. Boy, the whole world's going to follow him. I mean, they all, even the Democrats and Republicans get together for the first time. Say amen. Amen. They'll quit fussing over this. You know, I mean, they'll all get together. And they'll follow this mysterious man that the devil's going to place over this world for just a little while. Not only will it be a headline of multitudes missing, moon dripping with blood, mysterious man arises, but number four, write this down. It'll be a time when monsters will invade this world. People, listen, you that's got TVs, and I hope if you got them, you know how to cut the backs of them things off. But they're teaching your children about being invaded with demons. The book of the Revelation, Revelation 8 and 9 says, and 200 million demons, millions of demons will come up out of the pit. Can you imagine being standing out here somewhere, and the Bible said that demon or that monster will have a body like a horse, and he'll have a face like a man, and teeth like lions, and hair like women, and they will have stingers in their tails, and they'll torment men for 5.5 months. And the Bible says guns won't kill, they'll seek death and can't die, and all they can do is run and scream and get away from the invasions of monsters from another world. And I want to tell you, there are plenty of demons in this world now, but you wait until this world's invaded. Oh, don't let your children watch all of that old Frankenstein business and these old monsters and everything. I'll tell you, I wouldn't even let my boys, when they were small, listen to the monkeys. You know, the monkeys used to be real popular as kids. And they played this old rock, and I wouldn't let my boys listen to any monkeys. Lady said, why not? I said, they'd end up in the top of a coconut tree. Say amen. Praise God. I wouldn't let them listen to that junk. But you hear me, all of this that you see today, grave robbing. Now hear me, all of these horror films, and they're becoming more popular all the time. The devil's getting this world ready for the invasion of that awful stampede of demons, 200 million demons coming up out of the pit, horrible looking creatures, and he'll torment men till they die. Now, when I was on the mission field once, I remember I was in Africa. I saw things I couldn't believe. I still believe it's a trick, some of it. I still believe it. I saw men walk on hot coals barefooted, and their feet wouldn't even be warm when they'd get up. I saw one of the men stand there and take a knife and plunge it through his hand like this. And the knife came out, blood splattered. And he pulled that knife back, and there wasn't any hole, and there wasn't any blood. And the missionary said, that's demonism. And he said, at night we see all kind of strange creatures. I said to that missionary there in North Africa, I said, hear me! One day the pit's going to open up. Newspaper headlines you're going to have invaded. Monsters have invaded this world. That'll be headlines one day. Number five, would you write this down? There will be a mighty prayer meeting. Oh, listen, they'll put it on every newspaper headline. A mighty prayer meeting of mighty men. Bible said in the book of the Revelation chapter 6, and there was the breaking of the sixth seal. And the scripture says when that sixth seal is broken, that there will be earthquakes, and the moon and the stars will tremble. And then the scripture says, and the great men and the mighty men, the captain and the bondman and the freeman will all run out there to the rocks and to the mountains. And these mighty men are going to pray, fall on us and hide us from the face of the Lamb. Now, let me say just a couple of things about the face of the Lamb before I get into this last point. You know the greatest joy you'll ever see when you get to heaven? It won't be the streets of gold. Well, some of you Baptists get up there, you'll take a mattock and start digging it up. Say amen. That's the way it is. But you hear me some, brother. I'm glad when you get to heaven. You know the pretty sight you'll see won't be that rainbow. That pretty sight in heaven won't be the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. But when you look upon his face, the one that saved you by his grace. Oh, you talk about a time, mister. I'm going to look upon his face. The one that saved me by his grace. I'll look into those eyes. that are meek. Oh, I look upon that face that loved me enough to have him to jerk out his beard and spit in his face. I want to tell you, mister, see his face. But you know what wicked men, mighty men, great men, bond men are going to do in the breaking of the seventh seal? They're afraid of his face. Now, that's odd. Now, don't you ever forget that. You read, you get home. The last part of the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. The Bible said, and they'll cry from the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I want to tell you, man, you talk about a prayer meeting, they'll all be in that one. It hurts me. It hurts me. I heard a fellow from a liberal denomination. They got some few conservatives in it, but I heard him on the radio the night. And he said this, and my heart bled. He said, now we have 8,000 in Sunday school on Sunday morning, 4,000 in prayer meeting. And I said, God, what's happened to our fundamental people? You can't get them to pray. Boy, one of the best things this church has ever done is have that Saturday morning prayer meeting. I mean, listen, that's where the fire comes from. That's the blessing of men that get together and pour out their hearts in holy prayer. When I was a member of the Calvary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina, many, many years ago, you hear me? They prayed. They got together. Taylor, you remember. We went to church together. They prayed. And oh, it's hard to get people to pray. No wonder our sons and daughters are living like they are. No wonder they're... I'll fly back to Atlanta. Look at that city that God moved me to 34 years ago. It's saturated with pornography. Oh, with drugs. It's saturated with filth. But you know why? Somebody failed to pray there. Oh, we failed to hold on to the horns of the altar. And mister, the devil's taking this thing over. But I've got news for you. His lease is going to run out. And praise God, after 6,000 years, Jesus is going to take this thing back over. And the Bible said, if you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Don't ask for Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to be mayor one day. Praise God. I'm going to put all beer joints out. I'm going to blow up underground Atlanta. Amen. Brother, we're going to clean that mess up. And the knowledge of the Lord, be in that city. And little children will dance in the streets and praise the Lord. Oh, you say, when? When King Jesus comes again. And when the Lord Jesus Christ takes over. Brother, what a time that's going to be. But I live exactly 3 miles from Stone Mountain. You ever heard of it? Ever heard of Stone Mountain, Georgia? I live 3 miles from Stone Mountain. And I went over there with my boys once, and we were walking. And little old Lord looked up to me, my oldest boy, and he said, Daddy, you reckon that mountain could ever fall? I said, no. But I said, one of these days, people from Atlanta, Georgia, is going to run out there to that mountain and pray, not to God, but they're going to pray to the rocks and the mountains and say, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one that sits on the throne. Mister, there's going to be a mighty prayer meeting. I mean, you won't have to beg them to come then. You won't have to beg them to pray then. I used to have a lady in my church, and I used to do this. I used to be like Dr. Lysa. I'd get on my knees, but I'm too fat and old to get down there. Takes me too long to get up. Say amen. But I used to get out on my knees. Taylor, you remember when I'd get on my knees? And man, I'd pray and ask God to bless. One of my members came up years ago, and she said, Brother Mace, that embarrasses me when you get out on your knees to pray. But when her little girl got deathly sick, and I ran into that hospital in Columbia, South Carolina, and she was screaming and twisting her hands, and she said, pray. Brother Mays, get down on your knees and pray for my girl. That didn't embarrass her. Oh, she might have been embarrassed for cause of some of her friends came to our church. And before I preached, I got down and prayed. But she wasn't embarrassed. She didn't care how many friends was looking. Oh, there are people all over Tri-Cities, hear me? And they would not pray in public for anything. But you tell them there's coming headlines one day, the mighty are crying out, the mighty are praying. And the Bible said they'll come and pray, but their prayers will be too late. They'll come and call upon God, but mister, it will be too late to pray. And what a sad thing that's going to be. Let me give you this. I have a lot of friends in Pennsylvania. I love those friends. I like them Amish people. You know, they're real backward as far as they don't believe in wearing neckties. And, you know, they don't believe in riding cars unless, you know, they join the kind of the liberal crowd of the Amish people. But they're great people. I love the Amish people. Man, if they buy a house, they go in and tear the water system out. Man, I wouldn't. Didn't care it from a spring. I like that pumped in kind, don't you? Say amen. And they take the lights out. Buy a beautiful home, pull the lights out. That's their business. Now, I'm not here to criticize them. But you know, I was over there and a mine blew up. And 37 men was in that mine. And Brother Earl Thomas said to me, Mays, he said, there's 1,100 people in that mine in town. And I'll guarantee you 1,000 has heard you on the radio. Would you feel like riding down there with me and just witnessing and praying for those people? I should be glad to. Next day we went down, they had ribbons and ropes and they had the mine cut off. And there were those little people standing there waiting to hear something about a husband or a daddy or a brother down in that mine. I stepped over and I said, can I help you? I want to pray for you. And I said, my name's Brother Mays. And some of those little miners' wives said, bless you, Brother Mays. Oh, said, you don't know how. We pray now. Said, we didn't pray till the mine fell in about a week ago. We've been praying. Boy, I heard the boss from the mining company stand up and he said, we're going to have to burn out the mine. I looked at Earl Thomas, who I was in meeting, I said, Earl, that's going to kill these folks. He said, gas is beginning to come up and gas is beginning to spread back in the mine. And it may blow this town off the map if we don't burn her out. And then he said, preachers, would you come and take your people down to the churches? And would you have them to pray? That head of the mining company said, have them to pray. And they started pushing those precious people in Pennsylvania back. And when we all got back, and I was going with them, and we got maybe 50 feet from where they were standing, a little 13-year-old girl, I didn't know her age then, but she broke loose and started toward the mine. And a nice highway patrolman tackled her, tenderly tried to help her. And she said, you let me go. Boy, some preacher stepped up there. And I said, he can't let you go, honey. You can't go any closer to that mine. She looked up and she said, I got a daddy and he's down there. And preacher, he wouldn't leave me. And I'm not going to leave him. And she looked up at that highway patrolman, and he was so nice. And he was tears in his eyes, and she said, my only brother's down there. You think I'd leave them and let them burn up? I'll stand right here to the end. Boy, I walked away with a broken heart, and I thought about all of these people are praying. But what does it take to get men to cry out? What does it take to pray? One day the headlines, mighty men are praying. All over the world they'll be praying, but their prayers will be too late. They'll be praying, but it'll be too late. God have mercy that we may see that God's given us a time, and he said in that last verse I read you, be ye also ready, because you don't know the time and the hour. It's coming. Every head bowed or eye closed. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening.
You know, strangest things are going to happen soon. The Kingsport paper will have in big headlines, multitudes missing. Did you know that the Bristol paper will have one day its headline, multitudes missing? That's what the book said. The book says he's coming back after the saved. It'll be the greatest kidnapping the world's ever known. The Holy Spirit's coming and take us to be with Jesus. Multitudes missing. Multitudes. The moon will drip with blood. I believe it's after the rapture, sure. A mystery man's going to step on the scene. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, after he's taken away the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, monsters like never been thought of in Hollywood. Demon spirits, 200 million, million, millions. They're coming up out of the darkest pit and invade this world. Then last, there's a mighty prayer meeting going to take place. I mean a great prayer meeting. They're not coming to church to pray. They're not going to run over here, brother, to some sanctuary to pray. You know where they're going to pray? Over there at the side of the mountain and the side of the rocks and cry, fall on us. Fall on us. Father, I want to thank you that the Bible is very clear and plain about the future. I want to thank you that we're not left in the dark. That some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles will all be won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak. Thank you, Lord. That's our blessed hope. That's the only hope this world's got, Lord, is going to stand. And if there's someone that's come today and they have no hope, may this be the day. May this be the hour when that one will come to know Jesus. God, save that lost man. Save that lost woman here today. Save that precious young person that's never trusted Jesus. Don't let them go to hell. And we'll praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Look this way. Let's everybody stand. Again, we sing a
song. 277.
Number 277. Now listen, folks. If you believe, and I believe everything I said is going to happen. The Bible said it was. You know what I'd do? I'd be certain before I walked out that door that I was ready. Be ye also ready is the last verse I read you. I'm glad I'm ready. I'm glad today, listen to me, whether I die a natural death and go to heaven that way, or whether I'm here in the rapture, I'm going to be with Jesus either way. I'm ready. Are you ready? Listen, sing, Brother Gary, today. And whatever you have on your heart that you need to pray about, whatever it is, you come down here. We're going to have a prayer meeting here. Nobody's going to make us go to the rocks and the mountains. We're going to come to this mercy seat, and we're going to talk to the Lord. If you've got something you need to talk to God about, come on down here. Let's sing along, Brother Gary. Everybody sing it. Sing it with. Come on. I'll tell you, we need to come. We need to pray. Yes, praise God.
Mercy with the Lord. And he will surely,
yes, he will,
give you rest by trusting in his word.
I love this. Listen.
Only trust.
I like that.
Him only.
That's
trust
all you've got to do is to trust him.
Only trust him now.
You know what he'll do? He'll save you.
He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
Now would you bow your head for just a moment? I won't keep you long, but I want to pour my heart out to you just in a few seconds. Did you have a need when you came in that door? Is your heart satisfied with the Lord? Are you sure that everything's right between you and God, beloved? Listen to me today. Make sure that your soul is ready to meet the Lord. Make certain that you've been a true warrior prior for your family. You've been faithful to your church. You've held up the good pastor's hands. Would you do that? We're going to sing just one more stanza, and then we're going to go. I want to ask you something.